We are going to start the Yerushalmi Chav Ches Amud Beis again, going over the last piece of Gemara because it leads into the Chav Ches. So the two dots will just speak it out. We're not going to read the text. We're just going to say it. So we had Rabbi Yonah in the name of Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Imi both saying something in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So there were two different statements in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, one from Rabbi Zeira, one from Rabbi Imi. So one of them said that you could put two species on two sides of a fence, but you can't put two species on two sides of a border. One of them says that if you have a border that collapses, that it's kosher. But the diuk from that is that if you had a fence that became less than 10 tefachim, then it's not considered a good separation. And then the Gemara says, we don't know who said what. And the Gemara says that we know that since Rabbi Zeira says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that you could put species next to a fence, so you can be deduced that it was Rabbi Imi that said that it was the other statement. Okay, then the Gemara starts off, and the Gemara starts off on Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi is going to learn out both halachas from Mishnayos. We learned both Mishnayos. I don't have tests. Goyvul shen smite kosher. It says in the Mishnah, in our Mishnah, it says that if you have a border that was reduced in less than a tafach, it's still good. So since it teaches you that about a border and not a fence, so you see, Hogarash and Esmite is possible, fence that gets reduced in its height is invalid. That's the proof for statement number one. Statement number two, Saimkan Lagadar, it says you can, the proofs that you can put two species next to a fence, even though the fence is less than 1.5 tefachim thick. This Nina, it says in the following Mishnah, Simach Labor, we had this Mishnah, of course, it was Parak 2, Mishnah Vav. Simach Labor, you could plant different species next to either side of an uncultivated land, linear plowed land, gampa, unmortared fence, stone wall, ladarach of road, Gedeshu Gavayasar tefachim, or fence, 10 tefachim high. So it says very clearly that it has to be 10 tefachim. For we less than 10 tefachim, you would not be able to do it. Ein Tzom Kalagayvel, as far as a border is concerned, you can't. It says, I'll tell him, Amos Amayim, if you have a furrow and a water channel, Shein Amukim Tvach Tefach, they're one tefach deep, Zorim L'Secha Shlesha Minei Zorainim. So you can plant three species in this furrow. We're on Chav Tes one off for the Mishnah. So we'd spoken out different mafarshim how to learn this. We had the Rash and the Rambam, but anyway, one on either side, one in the middle. So either the sides are on the top at the edge of the furrow, the two top edges, and one in the middle, the bottom of the furrow, or in which case the furrow is only really tefach wide. That's the Rambam's shot, and the Rash learns that the furrow is actually 6 tefachim wide, and we're talking about three species that are planted down below the bottom of the furrow.
Considered a border.
The furrow is for sure considered a border because it's a tefach deep. Yes. Right. If you're going to say that you can place different species alongside a border, so Yisrael and Mata Kamashuras, then why shouldn't you be able to plant many rows below? This is a very difficult argument based on the way we're learning, particularly the Rambam. And he goes through this in three, trying to figure this out. On the second column, I'll just speak out the second column over here. It says, as noted above, the Gemara seems to understand our Mishnah is discussing 6 tefach wide furrow with one species planted inside and two planted outside. According to Rash, all three species are planted in the actual furrow, so that several rows are planted inside. So So how can the Gemara ask several rows should be planted inside? So, in other words, we know three are allowed. The question of why five are not allowed was dealt with already in the Gemara on 27b. Over there it says because it's enclosed, that's why you can't put in five. So it's very difficult. The Gemara's kasha doesn't seem to make any sense according to the Rash. It's also difficult to the Rambam, who says the furrow is only one tefach. How can several rows be planted in one tefach space? It also doesn't make any sense. So this Gemara is very difficult according to all the Farshim. And we're just going to leave it as a Sarki. There's obviously Achronim to look at to see how they learned this pshat in the Gemara. I didn't do that. It's not suffice to say that when you learn this Gemara, you have the questions in mind, and that's good enough. Amrin Chavraya Kumi Reb Shmuel Bar Ovin. So the scholar said the following: Tiftar Shahaya Zareya Barosh HaGovel. So the Mishnah could be talking about a case where you planted seeds on the very top of the border. That means on the very edge of the furrow. In such a situation, only one species is allowed on the actual furrow or channel. Four, you'll see, it says over here, although a border may serve as a separator, that's only if there's nothing planted on the vertical side of the border. Now, if there's some seeds that are on the very edge of the rim around the furrow, leaning into the furrow, then the wall of the furrow cannot serve as a separator. The species inside the furrow must be distanced from the edge, so the requisite distance separates between it and the species outside the furrow. In other words, you're going to have 1.5 tefachim from the wall of the furrow to where you can plant your first species down below. In which case, all you're left with is room for really, you're going to have 1.5 on one side, 1.5 on the other side. So that eats up 3 tefachim already, and you only have 6 tefachim in total down below, so you have 3 tefachim left. So what are you going to be able to put? Maybe you could put two. Maybe. 1.5.
Right.
Plant one. 1.5.
1.5.
And then 1.5.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe you could do that. Yeah. So the Gemara says,
especially if it's 6 wide.
He says, accordingly, the complete 6 tefachim area is unavailable. More than one species cannot be planted there. I mean, I guess the pshat is that we're not talking about a single plant over here. We're talking about, you know, a substantial number of plants. It seems like if push came to shove, that maybe you could make it work. I don't know. Yes, that's the Gemara wanted to try to disprove the raya from the Mishnah. So I'm aligned, so they say that in Kaney. If that's so, Yakar also hakalach. It would be more advisable for you to just go to the edge, pull out the one plant that's on the edge, leaning over into the furrow, because it's ruining everything. If you wouldn't have that one leaning into the edge, you would be able to use the wall of the furrow as the separator. You'd be able to go down below it and plant 5 species, or whatever more. Kamashiras Yakar also hakalach, uprooted. Yisrael amatan kamashiras. Isn't it better to uproot one and have more available? So, therefore, it must be that that's not the case. We're not talking about a case where you have this special case of, you know, where one plant is leaning down into the abyss. Okay. Next. 29a2. So, if you have a furrow and a water channel, which are 1 tefach deep, you can plant 3 varieties of seeds, 1 on each side and 1 in the middle. Tony Bar Kapara, Eino Zarei L'Soichan, Ela Min Echad, he has a dissenting opinion. He believes that you can only plant 1 min. That means to say both sides and the middle all have to be the same min. He argues on the Mishnah. I don't know how that's possible. I didn't think Bar Kapara was a Tana, but anyway, I guess he is. Does he say whether Bar Kapara is a Tana? I don't know. I guess Toni Bar Kapar. Yeah, I guess he was, because it says Toni. Yeah, okay. Anyway, so he argues. Next, Halacha Gimel. This Misha is should be quite complicated. I was reading through it. I read through it twice already in the Yad Avraham Mishnayos, trying to get a clearer picture of exactly what's going on over here. So I'm just going to give a little introductory remark here. We're talking about where you have a vegetable a field, and you're trying to plant a single row of, perhaps a single row. It might be more than one row, but a single row for sure of a different min of a vegetable right into that field. So the question is, so far we've discussed harchokos, where you have two separate fields. So we said when you had grain, it was a base row of 10.2 amos. If it was talking about vegetables, we said you need 6 tefachim. What happens if you want to put a row right into this? You're not having two fields. We're talking about one row going into a field. So what's the rule then? So that's what this mission is going to talk about. Oh, it's just going to be a different shear. It's going to be a different shear. Everything's going to be different. So you're going to be surprised by how lenient some people are about this. Hayirosh tor v'yorak u'niknas l'tzok yorak stay acher. You wanted to have a rosh tor of one species and going into the field of another species. That's the old case, you know, the angle, right? Where you have a right angle pointing onto the edge. That's, of course, mutter. That's no chiddush at all. Mutter neishu nirakasov. So there it looks like it's the end of his field. He explains what the chiddush is, that because vegetables sometimes are not as, you know, as they don't necessarily stay in line. The point of the rosh Torah may not be as well defined, not as sharply defined by vegetables. So that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. But let's go to the next case. He had a field which was of one species of vegetable. He wants to plant another row in that field. So, let's see here. Now, in the English, he says, separating it from the rest of the field by an empty furrow on each of its sides. It's interesting that he speaks all that out without any indication from the Mishnah. There's going to have to be some separation on both sides of that row, right? So I'm putting broccoli inside a field of peas. So how am I going to do that? I'm going to have a row of broccoli, and then I'm going to have a blank space on the right, a blank space on the left. Now, is that going to be like, you know, 6 tefachim on each side? Or is it going to be 1 tefach on each side, 1.5 tefachim on each side? What's the rule here? So Rabbi Shmuel says the following. Only if the furrow extends from one end of the field to the other end. So what does furrow mean here? Does furrow mean the row that he's planting? Or does furrow mean the blank rows that he has. So over here, if you take a look, let's see, we have 12. In other words, the furrow on each side of the row. So this is clear. He's translating furrow according to what he's learning now. Is what?
The elevation is created.
The blank. Let's just call it the blank. The blank row. It's created by taking a plow and going through it, but so we call it a furrow. But just to make it, it's a blank. They're blank. There's a blank row.
There are two stripes of only dirt.
Only there are two dirt rows, and there's one row with the vegetable. See, he's translating that the telem mefulosh is referring to the furrow on each side of the row, separating the species in the row from the species planted in the field, must extend the entire length of the field, splitting the field into two parts. So, if you look at the picture, you'll see that there's a furrow on each side that goes from end to end. Then he has species B in the middle, But species B does not necessarily have to be planted from one end of the row to the other end of the row. So I happen to be using your Gemara from the base medrash. But I have another copy here.
That's fine. I have my own.
That's mine.
I have my own.
So if you want to, you're welcome to use me. Okay. We're up to Halacha Gimel, 29a2. We just said, Rabbi Shmuel, you're planting another species, a row of vegetables in another vegetable field. And he says you have to have two blank rows on each side of the row that you want to plant. And the row that you're planting is not going to need to be planted the entire row, but the separating rows will have to. So that's quite a chumra de kashita to require an end-to-end furrow. Rabbi Akiva says, no, orak shisha tfachim. All you need is six tfachim. So in other words, the furrow has to go six tfachim, and rochav meloa, now we're talking about the width of the furrow, rochav meloa, it's a funny kind of language. The width of it is the fullness. Let's say what does he say over here? 13. So according to Rash, its fullness means its length. So the size of the furrow separating the species is going to be 6 tefachim long, and since it's 6 tefachim long, it's going to have to be 6 tefachim wide as well. So its fullness means the weight, the length of the row is the same as the width of the
So it's a
6x6 square. And the picture is terrible because it indicates it's not to scale at all, based on the Rash, right?
Right.
According to Rambam, the fullness does not refer to the length, but it refers to the depth. So if you have a row which is a tefach deep, then its width has to be a tefach wide. If it's two tefachim deep, it has to be two tefachim wide. That's what the Meloa refers to, okay? Anyway, and then either way, Rabbi Akiva argues, the furrows separating the row from the field do not need to extend the full length of the field, like Rabbi Shmuel said. The species in the field surrounds the species in the row on only two sides. Rather, it's sufficient for the rows to be six, although the species in the field will then surround the rows on three sides. So, again, you see the three sides. You have species A on the left, on the top, and on the right. So you have it surrounded on three sides. Rabbi Akiva, that's good enough. All right. Now, the question here is, there is a question here. And now, is the species B that you're going to plant in the middle there, in between the two rows, can that extend beyond the six tefachim? So we're saying that you have to have six tefachim in a row, of a blank row, on either side of the furrow. On either side of the planted row, right? Can the planted row go beyond those six tefachim? So, in other words, so if you look at diagram B, species B goes beyond the six tefachim. So you have actually some of the second species right up against, right, in a certain area of the field, right up against other species, right? Which is a big chiddush, because you're relying on a separation that took place within the first six tefachim to act as your hecker, that this is a separate species in the middle, and then allowing that middle to go on beyond the six tefachim. That's quite a chiddush.
Otherwise, what's the chiddush? If you have 6x6 separation and that's the limitation, there's no chiddush.
Then there's no chiddush.
It's gornish. We don't need this. We know.
We know about 6x12.
Yeah.
But that's only on the outside. This is inside. No, I'm
saying 6x6 separation would be sufficient. I don't think anybody would say that 6x6 separation would be insufficient just for that space. But I'm saying I thought the shot that I thought would be the entire row. So you have 6x6, and then you go the entire length of the thing. It is a huge chiddush, but that's what the Gemara is telling us. The Mishnah was telling us. Otherwise, what are we learning?
Yeah.
If it's limited to 6 tefachim, We don't need this.
So he says he says it's a machlokas. The Rambam posits the planted row may extend past the six tzvachim, but as in diagram B. But the Rash argues that the six tzvachim furrow is sufficient only if the planted row is no longer than six tzvachim. If the planted row is longer than that, the empty furrow has to continue along the entire length of the planted row, continuously separating it between the row and the field.
Right. So like we said, the two blank rows, right? If there's only deep a tefach, wide a tefach, according to what the Rambam said, that's a chiddush.
Right.
So you could only have a tefach thing, and it could go the entire length of the field.
The chiddush is not the flip of the other case we had, where you had an extension, like a handle, of what was growing, and that was, it had a certain amount of space, then it was considered...
That was extended. Saying he's saying that the Rosh, according to the Rosh, should only be the sixth tefach.
Right. Okay, let's go on. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Reichav Kamai, Reichav Hamparasah, that the width is equal to the width of the sole of a foot, which is a tefach, which is very interesting. They all point out, like, why didn't he use the word tefach? Why did he use the sole of a foot? Like, you have a choice. You could say tefach, you could say sole of a foot.
Because when they walk in the field, they measure.
Okay. So they say the reason is because his makar is from a pasuk in Dvarim, where the word is, I guess there's a word in the pasuk that says foot, pishkisa. I didn't look up the pasuk. It's in Deuteronomy 11:10. You want to look it up? Anybody have a chumash? Deuteronomy 11:10.
Should be a chumash. Right there on the shelf.
Yeah. You want to get it? Yeah. Joey, he's in another world. He's in another world. So let's look over here. Deuteronomy 11:10. Okay, the pasuk is. It's Shishi in Parshas Ekev. Forgot it already. Ki ha'aretz asher tov hashom l'rishto lo k'aretz Mitzrayim hi asher yitzasa mishom asher tizra ezaracha. So this is the translation is what? It's not like the land of Egypt that you left, where you would plant your seed and water it on foot like a vegetable garden. So you see that. This is probably going to come up in the Gemara, but the Mefarshim say that's why Rabbi Yehuda uses a language of foot, right? Reichav Kamoi, Reichav Haparsa, because since he learns from that pasuk Tefach, so therefore he uses that language. I don't know. Whatever, take it, leave it. We're in Chav Tes Amid Beis. Okay, so the first line over there is in parentheses, Atoni Bar Kapara. That was actually the last statement before the previous Mishnah, and it's printed out of place here, and it's incorrect, so we ignore it completely. Now, the Gemara asks a question, Ma'omar Rabbi Shmuel Bereichav, what does Rabbi Shmuel do concerning the width of the furrow? He said you have to have the furrow go from one end of the field to the other end of the field, and right now we're learning what he means is the blank space between the outside edges of the planted furrow. But the question is, what about the width of that furrow? How wide is it? So ma in Rabbi Kiva shuhuchovish b'sholosh ruchos, the Gemara is going to make like a kavachomer. Even Rabbi Kiva who allows the, remember we pointed out that Rabbi Shmuel only allowed there to be the other min of the vegetable on the right side of the vegetable that you're planting, and on the left side of the vegetable that you're planting. So it's surrounded on two sides, as opposed to Rabbi Kiva, who allowed it to be surrounded on three sides, right? So the Gemara is making a Kavah Chomer. Ma in Rabbi Kiva, shuhu chovesh b'sholosh ruchos, ma in Rabbi Kiva. who allows the field to be to close it in on three directions. And Isle Rochav Maloo, he holds that what? That the width is must correspond to its fullness, which we explained either it meant a tefach, or it meant its depth, right? Four is he quoted again here? Its length or its depth, right? It depends on how we learned it, right? So he requires that Rabbi Shmuel shul chavish b'shnei ruchos, so according to Rabbi Shmuel, who is machmer, he only allows it to be surrounded on two sides, like kol shekein. Surely the width must correspond to its fullness, meaning he's going to have to hold the same shear as Rabbi Kiva. That's basically what we're saying. If Rabbi Kiva required a certain width, then surely Rabbi Shmuel is also going to require that width.
So according to this, the 6x6 is enough for the entire length of the field, according to Rabbi Kiva. Yes?
I'm not sure what's the Kal v'Chomer telling you about that.
The Kal v'Chomer is saying that.
Kal v'Chomer tells us we wanted to figure out how wide was Rabbi Shmuel's width. So we're trying to prove Rabbi Shmuel's width from Rabbi Kiva's width. Rabbi Kiva is makel, and he allows three sides to be surrounded. And he requires Rochav Kamiluo, so Rabbi Shmuel, who is Makel, and I'm talking Machmer, and requires that only two sides can surround it, surely you're going to need Rochav Kamiluo. That's the Kal v'Chomer. Okay? So I'm not sure what.
Wait, Rabbi Shmuel is the one that we said that it has to be the entire length of the field.
That's correct.
Rabbi Shmuel is the one that said, Rabbi Akiva is the one that said that if it's six, so it's 6x6, it's enough for the entire length of the field.
That's correct.
Correct?
That's correct.
So what's the Kal v'Chomer?
We're focusing not on the length of the. We're looking at it at a very broad view. Now that you're right, that those are the two sheitas, you laid them out exactly right. But the nafkamina between the two, therefore, is whether they can be surrounded on three sides or on two sides. Rabbi Shmuel 2, Rabbi Kiva 3. So Rabbi Kiva is more makel as far as the surroundings is concerned, right? Because it doesn't have to be the entire length.
Right.
So you can have it all around all three sides.
Yes.
And yet he requires Rochav Kamilua.
6x6.
Whatever Rochav Kamilua means. Okay. Let's not get into that, right? Whatever it means, it might mean the tefach. I mean, whatever it means, or it might mean the depth. That as deep as it is, that's how wide it has to be. Okay. That's the Rambam's shot. So if that's a rochav, if he requires rochav kamiluo, so again, if Rabbi Kiva, who is mekel, requires rochav kamiluo, so Rabbi Shmuel surely is going to at least require that same thing.
Right.
That's the Gemara's proof. Okay. Yeah. Now we're on the second column over here. So Amrish decided to dispute between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva whether the furrow separating the species must extend across the entire field. The Braisa addressing a case in which one wishes to plant a row of urochas in a field of grain states that the species must be separated by an empty space measuring 10 and 1/2 amas by 6 tefachim. The Gemara questions. So now the question is, how would Rabbi Shmuel rule if you had a row of vegetables that you wanted to stick into a field of grain? Is he going to say what? What's the Gemara's question? So in 8 it says, the question's like this, right? One second. The Brisa says you only need a separation of 10.5 amas in length. It does not have to run across the entire field. So the Gemara wants to know, does Rabbi Shmuel agree when it comes to vegetables, is he going to agree that that too, that also does not require it to go again across the entire field? Or is he going to say, no, perhaps here too, he's going to insist that it go across the entire field? Now, they were only asked in according to Rabbi Shema. Why didn't they ask according to Rabbi Kiva? Why? Because it says clearly the separation between rockets and grain need not extend across the entire field. So it's logical to assume that this follows Rabbi Kiva's view, since in the Mishnah, he does not require the separation to run across the entire field. So the only question is the view of Rabbi Shmuel. Okay. So again, so we're asking, according to Rabbi Shmuel, if you're going to have vegetables going into the state tvua, are you going to need the separation of the entire field? That's the question. So the Gemara makes the same calling the Kal v'Chomer. Ma in Rabbi Kiva who make al hocha. Ma in Rabbi Kiva who's make al our Mishnah, and he only requires six tefachim in the beginning. Who machmer talmon, he's stringent there, requiring a separation of urachas in the grain field. It has to be 10.5 amos. So Rabbi Shmuel, the who machmer hocha, he's machmer here. Entire land, so lo kol shekhen diyakmer talmon. Surely he's going to be stringent, requiring the separation that it go across the entire field. It's kind of like a it's a funny kind of a logic over here.
I guess I like funny logic because I understand this.
You understand this?
I understand the other one.
You understand this one?
This one I understand.
All right. So Gemara says. So the way they're presenting the question here, they're presenting the question as if, what kind of question was this? This should have been obvious. So what was your question? So the Gemara is going to explain, lo tzorcha, the law. There's no need for this question. Rather, the question is, we're going to clarify what our question was. Ma'am Rabbi Yishmael Taman Baroichav. The question is concerning the width. That's to say, if you have a furrow in a grain field that's separating the grain from the urakos, how wide does that furrow have to be? Does he agree 6 tefachim is enough? Or maybe it has to be wider than that? So over here on 13, he says, just as he's more strict concerning the length of the separation, so maybe he'll be more strict also with Gabi the width. So the Gemara answers, k'modat omer hocha, he Rabbi Shmuel, he Rabbi Kiva Baraychav. Just like you say that they're the same regarding the width. Kenat Amar Talmon, Lo Shanya, he Rabbi Kiva, he Rabbi Shmuel Baraychav. There's no, just like in all respects, in the Mishnah, the width does not seem to be a machlokas between these Tanoim. The machlokas seems to be relegated only to the length of how long you need those separations. But beyond that, there doesn't seem to be any machlokas. Okay, and that's where we'll stop here.
So according to Rabbi Akiva, that you say shisha a 6x6, can it be anywhere in the length of the field, or it has to be at the beginning?
At the beginning.
It has to be at the beginning.
At the edge of the field.
At the edge of the field.
Yeah.
So okay. that would be the hecker.
Yes.
No, I'm saying maybe in the middle. Would be
You can't start in the middle of the field. And it's surrounded on all four sides, because that's a problem of
chavush.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah.